This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
طيب بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد we begin in the name of Allah سبحانه وتعالى and we request praises and blessings upon رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الحمد لله we thank Allah سبحانه وتعالى for yet another day and night from the month of Ramadan but subhanallah we are heading with full force to the last 10 how many nights do we have left till the last 10 of Ramadan. Who's counting?
One more night?
Tuesday night. Ahsant. Subhanallah. May Allah accept from us all what has passed and bless what remains and inspire us to be the best we can be. Ameen Ya Rabbal Alameen. Welcome, my brothers and sisters in Islam, both on site and online, to our Ramadan series, Surah Yusuf. Lessons for the 21st century. Yesterday, we stopped at the point where Yusuf alayhi salam was saved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he actually made dua for Allah to save him, and he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to literally place him into prison, because prison would be his only safety net, his only means of safety, his only means of remaining upon the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we spoke in detail, we went into the psychology, if I can use that term, of the events, recognizing who he was as a human being and the proposition that was in front of him and shaitan and the nafs and desires and so on and so forth. And he was left with two options. Either you do haram and you do haram after haram is the punishment of Allah and the anger of Allah. Or you go to prison, Yusuf, and that is difficulty for you in this life. Yusuf alayhi salam chose the lesser difficulty to avoid the greater difficulty. And we learn from this, my dearest brothers and sisters in Islam, a principle that we find in Islamic jurisprudence, in fiqh, which is if you face with a situation whereby both your choices are harmful, then it is upon you to engage the lesser harm to avert the greater harm. You engage the lesser harm to avert the greater harm. But this fiqh, this understanding needs us to have a greater fiqh. And the greater fiqh is the aqidah, belief in the hereafter. If you don't believe in the hereafter, how will you understand what is the greater harm and what is the lesser harm? Yusuf alayhi salam understood Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He understood the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He understood the reality of the life of the hereafter, that is far longer lasting than the life of this world. He understood what he stood to lose in terms of his Jannah, what he stood to lose in terms of earning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's displeasure. For him, this was the greater harm. Going to prison, of course it's harmful. It's difficult. It brings to you a difficulty. It takes you away from the amenities of life. But the life of the world of this world is temporary. And you will have, as a result of prison and this difficulty, Allah's pleasure. You'll have your Jannah. You'll have safety in this life and the next. You would have respected your father, because the teachings are the teachings of your father as well, that you would be adhering to. So now he had the right scales to use to understand the greater harm versus the lesser harm. When people think about benefit and harm, and their only mechanism for understanding events is the life of this world till before the grave, they make mistakes. But a believer lives not till the grave, but beyond the grave. So when he or she looks at things, they look at things holistically. This might be difficult, but how difficult is this in comparison to the difficulty of the grave? How difficult is this in comparison in the difficulty of standing in front of Allah on the day of Qiyamah? How difficult is this in comparison to the difficulty of the punishment of the hellfire? Now you have an understanding of what is the lesser harm and what is the greater harm. And now you know what to engage. Yusuf alayhi salam engaged the lesser harm. Prison was the lesser harm, to avert the greater harm, which is earning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's displeasure. Now, did he do this in a depressed way? Did he do this in a sad way? Do you see him doing this and like, you know, complaining about life and feeling depressed and feeling like life is not worth living and what is the point of life? And no, we see that he made this decision with utmost belief and faith and khushu', humbleness, grounding, serenity, peace with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How do we know this? Allah tells us, وَدَخَلَ مَعَهُ السِّجْنَ فَتَيَانَ. This is from the beauty of the Quranic stories. Allah moves it forward and we can fill the gaps through our understanding of life. When he goes into prison, two other people enter prison with him, two young people. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that they each had a dream. They each had a dream. They had this dream. Now, they're in the prison, they have this dream, the dreams that they have confuse them. What do they see in their dream? One of them, he sees himself pouring wine for the king. Subhanallah. Well, not exactly. He is squeezing the wine out of the grapes. What's needed to make wine out of? The grapes. Inni a'asiru khamra. And subhanallah, look at the Quranic eloquence. Meaning, you don't squeeze alcohol from the grapes. You squeeze grape juice from the grapes. Then there's a fermenting process and so on and so forth. Then you get the khamar, the intoxicant. He is saying, a'asi khamra. The Quran is describing him as saying, I see myself squeezing alcohol. Look how the Quran takes you from process to result. Basically, we understand in just a few words that he's seen all this in his dream. He was squeezing it, he was preparing it, he was involved in the fermentation process, and he was involved in the pouring process, in the serving process. Look how eloquent the Quran is. In just a few words, Allah told us his entire dream. But you have to ponder. This is from eloquence, linguistic eloquence. And some of this exists in the English language as well, and in other languages you find it in poetry as well. SubhanAllah, where you read poetry but you don't understand, you need to really think about, read it over and over again to figure out what the poet is trying to say. Allah didn't say he was squeezing grape juice. When you squeeze grapes, you squeeze grape juice. Allah says, he said, I see myself squeezing asiru, meaning squeezing alcohol. So in these few words, Allah has told us the whole dream, subhanAllah, that he saw. If it was a tafsir lesson, I would go into the finite details, the linguistic details, but you know, we are in a tadabbur lesson, we want to get to the benefits. وَقَالَ الْآخَرُ The other one said, إِنِّي أَرَانِي أَحْمِلُ فَوْقَ رَأْسِ خُبْزًا I see myself strangely carrying on over my head bread, تَأْكُلُ الطَّيْرُ مِنْ And subhanAllah, I see birds eating away at this bread that's on top of my head. Now, Allah doesn't tell us about when did they get into the prison, how did they get into the prison, which cell were they in, you know, how did they interact with Yusuf, why? Allah just takes us straight to it. Immediately they're telling Yusuf alayhi salam, نَبِّئْنَا بِتَأْوِيلِهِ إِنَّا نَرَاكَ مِنَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ And this is key for us. In these few words, listen, no one can produce the Quran. Wallahi, I mean, I feel this need to make this a tafsir lesson because it's so beautiful. Subhanallah. But there's so much prior lessons that are needed for you to appreciate this, because I'd have to go into the nuances of the Arabic language for you to appreciate, subhanallah, just how eloquent this is. This is next level. That's why the Quraysh, they were from the family of eloquence. But when they heard this Quran, they knew this is next level stuff. This is next level stuff. They knew it. And that's why they say, only a doctor knows how really good a doctor is. You as a patient can say, this doctor's amazing. But really, who really knows how amazing, if this person's amazing or not? Only another doctor. A person who knows the craft can recognize a special craftsman. Right? Not so? Subhanallah. The Quraysh, they knew, but their arrogance, Allahu Musta'an, prevented them from believing in this Quran. They are telling Yusuf, interpret for us this dream. And guess what? You know why we're asking you? Inna naraka minal muhsinin. We see you from the people who do good. How did they see Yusuf from the people who do good? If Yusuf went into the prison crying, if Yusuf went into the prison depressed, if Yusuf went into the prison in a corner, sitting with his legs close to his face not wanting to engage people because it's just going test after test. Life keeps hitting me. No matter how much I try, life keeps hitting me. My brothers did this to me. Then I was put down the well. Then I was stolen and abducted for a second time. Then I was transported out of my homeland. And then I came to a different homeland. Then I was sold as a slave. And then I was in this scary slave market. And then I lived in this house with this woman who, subhanAllah, she doesn't have morality. She tried to seduce me and make me disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And previously, all this idol worship. And now I'm 40. I need a break. Yani I need to breathe. You don't see, if he was busy saying these kind of things, would these people go to him and say, "We see you from those who do good"? What do you think? In these few words, Allah tells us how proactive Yusuf was in the prison. He went into the prison smiling. He's helping people. He's assisting people. He's listening to people's problems. He is giving them life advice. You can only imagine him to be this type of person for these two people who have this strange dream to choose him to be the one to give them guidance about the dream that they saw. What do you guys think about this? Put the pieces together. Why would they say we see you from the doers of good if he was doing everything else but good? If he looked like everybody else, depressed and lost, nobody would go to him. But when you are in a place where, subhanAllah, you know, by default, it's a place designed for a specific group of people. And then you bring someone who's an anomaly to the group. Everyone recognizes this person is different. Not so? This person is different. Yusuf was shining. This character was glaring. We spoke about it over the last few weeks. Not only was he a beautiful face, but he was a beautiful character. He was a beautiful believer. He was a beautiful submitter. Subhanallah. And he was beautiful in the prison. Now, Yusuf alayhi salam, he says to these people, and this is from the signs of excellence in da'wah, and from the signs of him being a prophet. He says to them, "La ya'tikuma ta'am." You know the food that we are about to eat, this meal, this next meal we are about to have, it's not going to come, it won't be served, except that I will answer your question. You know this interpretation you're looking for? Before the next meal comes, I will answer it. And when I answer it, it will be from that which my Lord taught me. Wow. What is he doing here? Firstly, in a show of excellence, he is keeping them with him. If he gave them the answers, where would they go? Would they stay with him or would they be gone? Did they come to him to be his friend or they came to him for a need? What? Are you with me? Huh? Is this too deep? Well, he came for a need. So if someone comes to you for a need and you fulfill that need, what's left? You go away. But Yusuf has a bigger plan for them. Yusuf has a bigger plan for them. This is a sign of his character and his da'wah and who he was. Put him in any environment, he is going to rise above. He is not going to let the environment define him. He is not going to let the moment define him. He is going to define the moment. He is going to define the character. This is who Yusuf alayhi salam is teaching us to be. Whether you're at work, whether you're at home, whether you're in the community, whether you're in the masjid, whether you're with your in-laws, whether you're with whoever. People work with you. They don't work with you. They work against you. They miss you. Whatever the situation is, you are that person, subhanAllah, that happens to things. Things don't happen to it. You come to the moment and the moment feels you and changes because of you. It's not the other way around, where the moment hits you and changes you because of it. This is the way of a believer. Yusuf is with it. I'm a da'i. These people are idolaters. They don't know Allah. So what do I need? I need to teach them about Allah. But to teach them about Allah, what do I need? I need to keep them with me. If I give them what they want, they're going to go away. So I'm not going to give them what they want. I'm going to give them what they need. Then I'm going to give them what they want. And to make them stay, I'm going to tell them that the food won't come except I'll tell you your dream. So now they have an endpoint. And this teaches us human psychology, how to work with people. Don't leave people hanging. If you tell people, "Don't worry, I'll tell you. Don't worry, I'll tell you. Don't worry, I'll tell you. Don't worry, let's say this guy is leaving me hanging. Forget about him." And they're gone. But if you put a timeline that you know the meal is served at a fixed time, before this meal comes, I will tell you. Now they're going to sit around because it's just now, it's going to come. I might as well sit. Where am I going to go? Right? And Yusuf has secured their attention. And in the process of securing their attention, he introduces them to Allah. How? When he tells them, I'm not going to interpret your dream, or I will interpret your dream before the next meal arrives. And my interpretation will be from that which Allah taught me. He's planted in their head something that I will tell you what you want, but I just want you to know. When I tell you what you want to know, it's not from me, it's from my Allah. So in their minds, there's a question. Who is this Allah? Not so? La ilaha illallah. Phenomenal. Phenomenal strategizing here, huh? Plants it, subhanAllah. He plants that seed and then he waters it. Now they're with him. They believe in him. He's earned their trust. What does he do? He goes in for it. Why does he go in for it? Meaning he's not attacking anybody, but he is going in for it, meaning he wants to pull these people out of falling into the hellfire, out of idolatry. He wants to help them. And this is what happens in life. People many a time come to us and they tell us what they want. But when we look at them, we know that they want something. They know we can help them with it. But there's something that they need and we can also help them with it. So we will give them what they want. But before we give them what they want, we should give them what they need. As parents, you do this with your children. As teachers, you'll do this with your students. Da'wah should be the same. When we interact with people, we should be the same. Many people want things from us. But we as the Ummah of Muhammad and the Ummah of Da'wah should be on top of things. Knowing who really needs something and they don't have it. And we have it and we can give it to them. And we should be searching for those opportunities to give them what they need before we give them what they want. And also this is from the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is from the way of the Sahab, of the Anbiya alayhi wa sallatu wa sallam. Once they came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and they said, Inna narkabul bahra. We are seamen. We live off the sea. We're always on the sea because we fish. And we have limited water. إِن تَوَضَّأْنَا بِهِ عَطِشْنَا. If we use the water for wudu, we'll be thirsty. Because we can't drink the sea water, it's salty. If you've been to Jeddah, you know the water is salty. If we use the water that we have, we will be thirsty. أَفَنَتَوَضَّأُ بِمَاءِ الْبَحَرِ. They need something from the Prophet. Can we use sea water to make wudu? So we can save our water to drink and cook. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, هُوَ الطَّهُورُ مَاءُهُ الْحِلُّ مَيْتَتُهُ. Allahu Akbar. He told them what they wanted and he also gave them what they needed. They didn't ask him, you know, we see dead fish. Can we eat the dead fish? But he told them. He says, you haven't asked, but you need to know. The water is permissible for you to use for wudu and the dead fish of the sea is also permissible for you to eat. It's the exception to the rule. Take drink from the lives of the prophets, my brothers and sisters in Islam. This is who we are. This is who we are and who we should be. Now that he has them, he goes in for it. He says to them, "Inni taraktu millata qaumin la yu'minuna billah wa hum bil akhirati hum kafirun." He goes, "You know what? Me, I left the way of the people who deny Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and deny the akhirah. I left the way of those people." And people might be scratching their heads and saying, "Well, what's he on about here? What's he on about here? He just came in with this line." It's intriguing, isn't it? Intriguing, because he can see what they are upon and he is telling them, you are telling me I'm from the good doers. Let me tell you why I'm from the good doers, because I've left the way that you are on. I've left the way of the people who you follow. I've left that way. I'm not on that way. I'm not on that way. I'm not on the way of the people who deny the hereafter. And then he goes on to make certain his identity. He says, وَاتَّبَعْتُ مِلَّةَ آبَائِ. He goes, me, you know whose way I'm upon? I'm upon the way of my forefathers. You know me, I have an identity. You know where I learned about this identity? When I was a 7-8-year-old boy in the home of my father before my brothers took me. Yes, I lived through my teens, through my 20s, through my 30s, all the way to 40, in a home of idolatry, in a home of all different identities. But me, I never forgot who I am. I'm upon my fitrah. I'm upon the way of my fathers. Subhanallah, Ibrahim wa Ishaq wa Yaqub. Remember we said Yusuf is a prophet, the son of a prophet Yaqub, the son of a prophet Ishaq, the son of a prophet Ibrahim. Ibrahim was the father of Ishaq. Ishaq was the father of Yaqub. Yaqub is the father of Yusuf. He knows his identity. He knows his identity. I know who I am. I know who I am. I am a prophet. My father's a prophet. My grandfather's a prophet. My great-grandfather's a prophet. And I'm upon their way. I have no identity crisis. Yes, everything about me, everything around me is wrong. Everybody thinks I'm weird. Everybody thinks I'm strange. Everybody tells me I should be doing this and I should be doing that. But you know what? I don't lose sleep over it, because I know who I am, and I know why I am, and I know how I am, and I'm fine with it. The people who feel the pressure of the hijab, who feel the pressure of the Islamic conduct because of the environment, and then people telling, pointing fingers at them, you should do this, you should dress like this, you should go do this work, you should study this industry. And they become confused because of everybody's you should, you should, you should. They are people who are not grounded in their faith, not grounded in the knowledge of where they came from, where they're going, and how to get there successfully. That's the reality. It's not that there's a problem with the haqq. The haqq is the savior, but the problem is with them. And their solution for them is to seek knowledge. Seek knowledge and you'll find all this you should, you should, you should, you should not bother you anymore. We become nervous with everybody's advice when we don't know why we do what we're doing. Everyone has opinions, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam. Everyone has, whether it's to do with marriage, whether it's to do with children, how many children, when you should have children, when you should stop having children, with school. There will always be opinions around you. Which city you should move to, which country you should move to, what you should study, why you should study it. Everyone will have opinions. But ultimately, you need to have the opinion that is based on your why. It's connected to something great, the world you want to see the day you die. Because everything you do from today is to help you see the world you seek to create, the world you wish to see the day you die. What you study has to be connected to the world you want to see the day you die. Who you marry needs to be connected to the world you want to see the day you die. How you dress, what you learn, how you choose to be, how you choose to present yourself needs to be connected to the world you wish to see the day you die. If you don't know the world you wish to see the day you die, everybody's you should and everyone's opinions will confuse you, will rip you and strip you of your identity. Yusuf knows the world he wants to see the day he dies. And he knows that that vision is built on a heritage. And that's a heritage of prophethood. I don't care what happens around me. I don't care where you put me, where you throw me, what you label, how you label me. I don't care. Right now he's in the prison. Who knows what the women of the city are saying about him? Do you see him caring? Because he knows who he is. He knows why he is. And he knows how he is. And he's articulating it to these people. This is who I am. I'm not on your way because this is who I am. This is my identity. And guess what? You see me empowered because of it? I welcome you to it. I call you to it. I invite you to it. And that will be tomorrow's lesson, inshallah, when we go into the da'wah of Yusuf alayhi salam, and we go into the interpretation of the dreams, and we go into the events after the interpretation of the dreams, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, until we get to the point where the king of the land now has a dream, and alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala indeed plans. People plan, you plan, you want, I want, but Allah plans and Allah does what He wants. We will see this inshallah in the upcoming lessons, bidhnillahi ta'ala. We'll keep it short today. I know tomorrow is Monday, today is Sunday, it's late, everyone has preps, but inshallah tomorrow we'll resume, bidhnillahi ta'ala. May Allah preserve us in His obedience. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with beneficial knowledge. May Allah accept our fasts, our prayer, our ibadah, our sadaqah, our supplications. May Allah accept the first 10 of Ramadan and accept our second 10 of Ramadan and bless us in the marathon 10, the main 10, the last 10 of Ramadan. Bless us with diligence during every night, and bless us with Laylatul Qadr. Ameen. Ya Rabbil Alameen, I love you all for the sake of Allah. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Wa salamullahi alaykum wa rahmatuhu wa barakatuhu.